wood to your fire, then there's something wrong with you. That's all. That's for sure. That's good. Amen. That's a blessing. We do have so much to thank Him for, and that's a truth. All right. Well, we'll get right into the message this evening. It's going to be an abbreviated message, a short one, because there's something after that we need to get to and through. But I believe that anytime we get together, there needs to be something said from the Word of God. Because, I mean, without Him, there's no reason for us to be here. So we'll get right into it. Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew chapter number 29, and we'll read Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 30. Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse number 27. If you found your place, go ahead and stand in honor and reverence to the Word of God if you are willing and able. And we'll read verses 27 through, I think I said 30, but 31. Verses 27 through 31 says, "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country." Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for your word. I pray that you'd bless the reading thereof and the message that is going forth. I pray that you would, Lord, just give me unction, your Holy Spirit, to preach what you have for us this evening, Lord. And I pray that you'd bless this time in your word, as well as the business meeting to follow. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. It's one of my, there are a lot of miracles of Jesus Christ, and they're all my favorites, but this is one of them. Because there are extra details, there's a little bit of a narrative that goes on, and we can't really see, you know, at the end of this chapter, we see the heart of Jesus Christ on full display. You know, when he gives his one and only prayer request that he ever left, and that pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. I mean, you see his heart in this chapter. And here you see the action that precipitated the overflowing of his heart to end in verses 35 through 38, when we see his that he said when he saw the multitudes and was moved with compassion. But this just precipitates that. This is what was going on in his life on that day when he gave that all familiar exclamation of the heart of Jesus Christ and the heart of God, that there would be more laborers in his harvest. Here we have these two men. It begins with two blind men who had great faith. And we know they had great faith because they had to kind of work for it. You know, they say faith without works is dead. But faith and works they go together. Faith produces works. Works does not produce faith. You know, there's a clear order to things. But if somebody has true faith, then works are going to come right alongside it. You're going to see the evidence of that faith. And these two men, they showed that when they had faith. They showed their faith in how they responded to the news that Jesus was coming through town. We don't know exactly what they did, whether they positioned themselves in a place where they knew he would be walking by, or if they just happened to hear. As this crowd of people came by, maybe they caught the sound that Jesus was coming by. And these men, we don't know how long they had been blind, but they knew one thing, that all the medicine in that day and age could not help them. Even in this day and age, the eye is just too complex. With all the modern medicine and all the technology that we've achieved, we can do more than we could. but we still cannot recreate the eye. If something has happened to it, or it was just allowed to be fashioned improperly in the womb, there's nothing we can do to reproduce the miracle of sight. I think there's something to that, because God has chosen the metaphor of the blind receiving sight as a lost man coming to Christ many, many times. And I think it just goes to say something that we can't recreate. We can't recreate something that was elected by God to say, no, that is a representation of sin. And you're never going to get rid of it on your own. You're never going to be able to make yourself one to reconcile yourself with Jesus Christ and with God the Father in and of yourself. And here we have them, they're blind. And Jesus walks by and they cry out. They hear, okay, I think they hear the bulk of the crowd. They understand from the context of the situation, though they cannot see, they recognize that he's here. Oh, here's our chance. The fact that he would just walk by, what are the odds? And so they cry out. They say, thou son of Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on us. They cry with all their might. And you know, you're expecting as a reader here, oh, surely the God, our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of mercy, the God of love, he's going to hear their cry and he's going to make a beeline straight to them, because they've cried out in a heart of faith. They've cried with all their might. And yet, what does it say? And when he was come into the house, that's not where they cried out to him. Jesus passed right on by. It's not that he didn't hear their cries. Have you ever thought about that? Isn't that interesting? See, wait, I'm so thankful that's not the way it is with salvation now. When we cry out to God with a heart of faith, he hears us. He answers us. But he is telling us something through this. It is very clear that he did not stop, that he did not step aside and go to where they were and heal them on the spot. He was showing something, that true faith isn't just something you throw a coin into a wishing well or rub a genie's lamp. No, true faith is such a conviction to the truth that you're willing to act on it. There's a reason that when we give invitations and, you know, the Billy Graham Crusades, and I'm thankful for every person that truly gets saved from you know, the gospel being preached in other contexts throughout the world. But, you know, there's just something about it, you know, if you prayed that prayer, raise your hand. You know, it's just, you often see so many people raise their hand, and yet you don't see that many baptisms and that many people added to the church right after that, because it is so easy just to raise one's hand. That's why in this church, where we believe that repentance is also a part of the salvation process, we ask that people would come forward. We want to deal with them. We want them to know that they are making this profession based on the truth of God's word and not off of some feeling they had or some impulse to raise their hand. Because true faith, when it is taken root, it produces action. And we see here that they followed him crying. They were crying. It wasn't enough when Jesus passed by, they got up and started following him. And still, he didn't stop, he didn't do anything. He went to where he was going. And when they still followed him all that way, we don't know how far it was, but the indication here is it was some way. And they still came all the way up to the house. And you know there's a throng. It was not easy for them to break through. But somehow they make their way to where they are face to face with Jesus Christ. Then he saith unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this. Honestly, if it were me at this point, I'm like, really, can you do this? Because you didn't hear us when we stopped, when we were crying for you on the street corner, and then we followed after you for a good amount of time. And then we come into this house and we work our way to the front so we can finally ask you to heal us. And now you're asking if we believe. Don't our actions, don't they answer that question? I mean, if they were there just that, it comes to this point, if they were there just, we'll give it a try, that may have been the last straw. That may have been, no, I'm done. Now he's wanting us here. We're going to have to jump through a bunch of hoops. And then we're maybe or maybe not. I don't know if this guy is actually able to save us or not. You know, it would have been I could have understood if somebody had gotten to this point and said, well, I mean, we think you do. That's why we're here. But we thought we'd give it a try. It was better than sitting on the street corner. You know, you could see that. And I read this and I wonder how often we, in our journey of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we get to this point and we feel like the Lord just led us along for so long on whether or not it's a request to be granted or some spiritual mountaintop we're waiting for or some working of God in our lives. And we just keep on being faithful because we know, Lord, you want me to be faithful. But it comes to this point where then there's a testing of our faith. And we feel like, Lord, have I not been faithful in church? Have I not been doing everything right? And now you want to test my faith just a little bit more. How many more tests are there going to be? And we can get frustrated. And I wonder if oftentimes we give up. And we say, Lord, no, not this time. Not this time. I wonder how many blessings, how many miracles of God we have missed out on in our own lives because we weren't faithful to just go that next step. I mean, that's something to think about. Thankfully, that's not the story with these guys. We see what happens next as they say, yes, Lord, yay. You touch their eyes and according to their faith, it was done unto them. They were received their sight. They go around. And again, as was common, Jesus said, don't say anything. He said that he wasn't yet ready to be fully revealed as in his public ministry. So he gives his standard response. Don't tell anybody. But as was often the case, when the Lord touched them, they could not help but be outgoing about it. That's a lesson for us. I mean, if the Lord has truly touched you, if the Lord has done a work, a miraculous work that you knew, nothing or no one could have done it but him. And that gets you excited. We had a family sing it just a minute ago. So much to thank him for. When you know that he has done it for you, you can't help but tell somebody else. Although that's a whole nother sermon, I want to focus just for the next minute or next couple minutes on the question that Jesus asked, because we often blow by it. But that question that he turned and asked to him, he said, believe ye that I am able to do this. I want us to focus on that four letter word that Jesus asks. Believe ye that I am able to do this. It's an indefinite pronoun reference for you grammar whizzes out there. It means that it's open-ended. We don't really know what it's referring to. Well, in context, we understand that, oh, okay, to get their sight. But I believe the Lord left it that way because he wants us to look at that and realize Jesus wasn't just talking or thinking about that miracle in front of him when he asked that question. Because there was a whole multitude of people. He knew that this would end up in the Word of God in the Gospel of Matthew. He knew that we would read it. He knew that we would read the words of Jesus Christ, believe ye that I am able to do this. And I have to wonder, what in my life, if I prayed for, maybe there's something that I've stopped praying for because I gave up on it long ago. What is it in your life that you know only God can do this? Perhaps Jesus is just looking at you and asking that question. Well, Do you believe that I am able to do this? That means that we're not going to try to do it ourselves. We're not going to try to fix it ourselves. It means we're going to lay it at the altar of God and say, Jesus, I believe you are able to do this. What is your this? What is it that God is, he's allowed something to come into your life? And you know, you've tried every way to resolve it, or to get it, or to see it happen, and it just hasn't. Maybe the Lord is waiting on you to come on up to him and say, Lord, I need you to do this. And then when he turns and asks, well, do you really believe that I'm able to do it? What will your response be? Are you ready to give it to him? Could be a lost loved one who you've been praying for years. Could be a wayward child. Could be a financial difficulty. Some foolish decisions when you first got a credit card that are now haunting you to this day. What is it? What's your this? Michelle and I, many of you know our story, that for 12 years, we had a this. We figured it would be just the two of us serving the Lord forever. But we never stopped praying. We said, Lord, may it be your will. Your will be done. I remember late in 2017, I was reading through the account of Genesis, and I read about Isaac, how he entreated the Lord for his wife Rebekah's sake. And the Lord granted him his request. Because Rebekah, we all know about, well, Rachel and Leah had problems with, you know, with fertility. And we know that, we all know the story, of course, of Abraham and Sarah. Thank you, Abraham and Sarah. But I didn't realize, I guess I'd blown through it a lot. But there's also the same thing with Isaac and Rebekah. But all we see is that little snippet about it. And I realized at that point that I had kind of stopped, you know, praying about it. Just kind of, because I'm a coper. If things aren't going my way, I just learn how to cope, you know. And I realized at that point, this was our this. And I'd given up on it. I'd stopped at the door. I didn't go all the way to the feet of Jesus. I realized this was our journey. This was our this. I knew that she was praying about it all the time, and I often prayed for her that God would give her contentment. But at that, I remember at that moment, I was just impressed by the Holy Spirit of God to lay this at the feet of Jesus as a request, something that he could do, and believe that he could do it. It was a special hour that I had with my Lord Jesus Christ. Sure enough, not 6 months later, found out that little JD was on his way. And my goodness, when he showed up, there had been a church that had been praying for us for 12 years too in Russia. When God performed that, it didn't change just our lives. Everybody who had ever heard our story had been watching our lives and praying along with us. I saw men of stone who I had never seen so much as rub their eyes, weeping that day we announced that he was on his way. That church in Russia, because they knew. We had worked with them for 8 years, 8 of those 12 years, and they knew how much we loved the other kids and how much we wanted to be mom and dad. It wasn't until I sat down and said, Lord, I believe you're able to do this. So my question today, I am here to testify, he can do this. Believe ye that he is able to do this. Find your this, lay it before the feet of Jesus and say, Lord, I'm coming after you with true faith. And I believe you're able to do this. We just might see a miracle of God. we might see this church, the men of stone in here weeping because something you've been praying for